Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to the final 2015-16 edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. We open today with an impressive fact about the Notre Dame athletic program. Notre Dame is the only school in the country this athletic year to have a football team earn a bid to one of the Big Six bowls, and both men's and women's basketball teams advance to the Sweet 16. Schedules did not work out this week for us to have a member of the women's basketball program on the show, but the men's program will be represented by the hero of Notre Dame's second-round NCAA win on Sunday, Rex Pfluger, and the football program will be represented not only by co-host and Notre Dame graduate Joe Schmidt, but also his former teammate and soon-to-be senior Notre Dame linebacker James Onwalu. But first, to get things started, here are your hosts, University Vice President and Director of Athletics Jack Swarbrick and former Notre Dame football captain Joe Schmidt.
You're just former.
Aren't you
current something?
No. I'm a current Buser Fellow intern in the investment office. But other than that, I'm a former everything.
Our last show. Can you believe that?
It's strange.
It has flown by.
It is really odd to think about that. It's already over. And kind of sad, to be honest with you.
It is.
I wish we had something commemorative, almost like a commemorative Emmy. If only we had a commemorative Emmy for our performance.
Yeah. Are there any lying around here?
I wonder if we have an Emmy lying around here somewhere.
I was thinking more a bottle of champagne.
Oh, we could do that as well. That's up to you.
It has flown by, and you've helped make it fly by, so thanks.
No.
You know, in the introduction, Jack talked about the New Year's Day Bowl in these two games, which is a cool fact for this year. But I believe we're the only school ever to have the hockey and both basketball programs in the final 16 in the same year.
Yeah.
It has been a great winter for Notre Dame athletics.
It's really amazing to see just the across-the-board success that the teams have had. And it's been really fun to watch, and it's made our jobs a heck of a lot easier.
Oh, man.
It's a lot more fun talking about wins than it is talking about losses. And there's been so many wins, and hopefully, there's going to be a couple more here at the end for all of these teams, and I'm looking forward to those.
Absolutely. Let's start with hockey because I am so thrilled that thanks to Fighting Irish Media and the Notre Dame hockey team, the Joe Schmidt Challenge was in fact implemented. We got you dressed up in the pads and put you out on the ice. But what was the deal with no one taking real shots at you? I didn't see any 100-mile-an-hour slap shots.
Now listen, so it started off and the guys were really kind of just throwing wristers at me, and when I say throwing wristers at me, like, Those pucks are still coming really fast. So it took me a second to kind of, get my bearings and not fall over on the ice. And then at the as it moved forward, they started shooting progressively harder. And then unfortunately, we lost our cameras at the end. But then I had them really go point to point and just fire some slap shots at me. And those were insane. So I have so much respect for every hockey goalie out there. Cal, obviously, it was the Cal Peterson Challenge, but it was an exceptionally difficult task to be back there. So I had a great time with it.
Well, I appreciate you signing up for it.
signing up for it, you made me do it.
it's all relative. But no, and I hope for our audience, if you haven't gone on to Fighting Irish Media and seen it, it's a fun video to watch, and I hope people will. And hockey, first round against Michigan in Cincinnati in the NCAA tournament, a tough task against a very good hockey team, but one I can hope they can rise to the challenge of. And sort of fitting in a week in which we're playing Michigan in the NCAA tournament, we've announced this week that in the 17-18 season, we will start, begin an affiliation with the Big Ten in hockey, moving from Hockey East to the Big Ten, and I'm really excited about that.
I mean, it's great. The Big Ten in hockey is, they're a stalwart. They're probably, arguably one of the greatest conferences out there. And it's really going to reduce travel time, which I think is best for us. So I think, you know, hats off really to you and to everybody involved with that deal. Just kind of getting the guys some more realistic travel expectations for the year, because what they did was really ridiculous. I mean, they were going all over the Eastern Seaboard, and that's got to be difficult for class.
It really is, and it's you know, we still manage the missed class policy that Notre Dame has to make sure we don't miss other classes, but it will make it much easier. And it also, there's a natural rivalry with the Big Ten schools for our hockey program, and I think the atmosphere at our venues will be more fun. The places we'll play will be great. So while Hockey East has been great to us, we're looking forward to it.
How does a deal like that kind of come about? Because obviously it makes sense from our end, but really, how do you kind of go about negotiating that and figuring out how we fit into the Big Ten hockey scene?
When hockey went through a major realignment several years ago, effectively, the Big Ten started hockey for the first time, taking its teams out of two other conferences and creating Big Ten hockey. We had discussions back then because we knew that it was probably the best option, and it just didn't work. They needed to be Big Ten hockey for a while and figure that out. I think when they brought Johns Hopkins in for lacrosse, men's and women's lacrosse, as an affiliate member, the first time the Big Ten had done that, created sort of a template for us.
Right.
And it sort of naturally led to a new discussions and a way to do it. So we're excited. But on to basketball.
Yes.
Right?
It's March.
Exciting time for basketball. Women's hosted the first and second round here. Had a relatively easy win in their first one against Carolina A&T, and then challenged by Indiana in the second one. A tough physical game, but pulled away pretty comfortably at the end. And now head to play Stanford down in Lexington.
It's going to be a tough game for you, my friend.
Oh no, I root for Stanford other times, but there's no conflict.
No conflict
me.
Of interest there.
No, no.
I thought the game against the Indiana was really interesting because you know the girls were obviously challenged, but I mean we ended up winning by what 20 points, and it's just like we've been saying really this whole year that their mindset is really one of a kind. I've never seen anything like that where they can just kind of buckle down, you know, take the punch, and really just start throwing them back with just a fury. And people just hitting big shot after big shot after big shot. Maddie Cable, obviously, you know, Lindsey Allen, Brianna Turner. I thought they all played an amazing game.
Yeah, I thought you really saw the experience of Lindsey and Madison sort of come to the fore,
yeah.
Right? I mean, Lindsey was carrying us that first half. She was brilliant. And then when Madison was the recipient of that very hard foul,
yeah.
And she came up off the deck, hit her free throws, hit two threes, just sort of, I'm taking this game over. It was an exciting time.
I was going to say, it was, you know, I just was watching, and all of a sudden, it's like Maddie just snapped her fingers, and all of a sudden she's open, and another three, and boom, open, another three, and it's like, and it just put the game away, iced it completely, and it was really fun as a fan to kind of see that transition. So
yeah, it was great. I was glad I got back here for the Indiana game, the first game I missed because I was in Philly with the men's team, and you know, I'm too old for that. Is the short answer?
They've got you going everywhere.
Well, it's just two really exciting games that I thought, as much as anything, spoke to sort of the calmness and resolve of this Notre Dame men's basketball team. I mean, they've demonstrated it several times this year where whether they were down 16 to Duke or down 12 at the half to Michigan or whatever it is, they believe they're going to find a way.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about this with Rex later on the show, but you know that mindset is amazing, and I think, you know, going back and forth with Stephen F. Austin all game and coming back from down and even just the tenacity at the end of the game, you really saw how much we wanted. You see VJ boxing out, you see Zach, you know, throwing the ball up there, and Rex jumping up. So it's a team effort, and everyone's on board. And I think that's the only reason that this is working for them, and they're one of those hot teams in March is that tenacity and the togetherness.
Yeah, and from both the coaching perspective and the team perspective, it's really remarkable leadership in this group. I mean, I was so struck by the fact that Matt Farrell, who's played very little all year, is called on to start both those games, play extensive minutes, and does a great job. And everybody's in sync with it and knows how to play off him. And you know, that's a sign of a really good team.
No, and it's really good coaching, too.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable to have the confidence to put somebody that really has played limited minutes throughout the season and to put him in really when it matters the most right now. So it speaks – I think it speaks very highly of, obviously, Matt Farrell. But Coach Bray, just to know his team well enough, to know that piece is going to fit perfectly chemistry-wise and physically on the floor, I couldn't be more impressed. And I know I say good things about him all the time, but it's really amazing.
How's your bracket looking?
My bracket's it's disgusting. So needless to say, I have Notre Dame winning it all, but
right.
The rest of them not so good. So I don't think I'm going to show that one unless you, of course, force me to bring my bracket up here. I don't think I have the confidence.
It's going to be an interesting regional for us in Philadelphia. It's sort of an ACC Big Ten challenge, right?
Yeah.
You've got us against Wisconsin in the first game, Indiana and North Carolina in the second game. Interesting that should we get past Wisconsin, either team we'd face we'd played before this year. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I can't imagine there'll be a location, Sweet 16 location, with sort of a higher level of interest. All those schools' fans travel so well. We've got a lot of East Coast interest, and much like it was in Brooklyn, that was the most electric venue. I don't know if you could feel it through the television, but it was absolutely electric.
Well, it was amazing. So I was actually in New York the week leading up to it, and there was a buzz about college basketball around the city. It was almost as if everywhere I went, people were so excited about the games being there. And really, I think that, you know, obviously Notre Dame has a strong fan base there, but all those schools really, I think drew well, and it was exciting. But I'm really looking forward to this two game matchup series here in the Sweet 16, and I'm really interested to see though, you know, if we are able to get by a great Wisconsin team, and obviously we have a ton of respect for them, but to play a team we've already played before, and you know, in whatever matchup we end up getting, it's an interesting dynamic and something that I'm really looking forward to, hopefully.
Well, I tell you, if we get these teams into the Final Four, maybe we're going to have to do a special edition of this show, even if it's not carried by our radio partners.
As long as you get me tickets to wherever the games are,
we'll come back into it. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with two very special guests.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger believes every president should have a clear plan for defeating ISIS. In fact, he thinks it should be law. He joins us Monday morning. John Howell, WLS, AM 890.
Our first guest this week came to Notre Dame as a highly touted wide receiver and saw action at that position as a freshman for the Irish. However, James Onwalu switched to linebacker for his sophomore season and has been an impressive playmaker at that position ever since. Onwalu is taking the field this spring as the leading returning tackler for the Irish linebacking corps with 68 total tackles, 8 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. Off the field, the engaging young man from St. Paul, Minnesota, is majoring in finance in the Mendoza College of Business. And we know he comes to the table today with some entertaining stories about his former teammate, Joe Schmidt. Jack and Joe, take it away.
Oh, of course, who wants to talk about Joe, though, right? No, so that's the problem. James, it's great to have you here. I was at practice today and this morning. One of the things that struck me is you're an elder statesman now.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you were coaching some of the young guys and really helping them out. How does it feel to have that sort of position on the team now?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, it's a different position for me. Last year we have guys like, you know, Joe and Jarrett who are out there being super vocal and great leaders. So kind of following after that and, you know, filling those shoes, it's been fun.
Good.
Would you talk a little bit about the complexity? I feel like one of the questions that I'm always asked now is how complex is this defense that you're in? Is it possible to learn? All these questions I feel are commonplace. What do you think about, you know, the scheme in general? I mean, obviously you weren't even a defensive player when you started here, yet you've kind of mastered this defense. Talk about a little bit about that.
It takes time. It's more complex than a lot of college defenses, but we have the best student athletes here. We got a bunch of smart guys that can really learn fast. So putting in the time, and the coaches do a great job of coaching and teaching us just like a classroom. So making sure to put in the time and, you know, learning what you're doing first, and then you can always learn about what people are doing around you to make yourself a better player. So
how would you say that process, you know, kind of evolves? Do you just sit in your room and you memorize the plays and you think about it, or how exactly do you do it? I mean, I think everyone's a little different maybe, right?
Yeah, I think everybody's different. Starting out, I feel like I just tried to figure out where I was supposed to be at first and then what my job was. And then as you go and you make mistakes, you learn from those mistakes, and spending more time in the film room, you can start understanding, like seeing what may happen before the play. So I think that's kind of where I started, just figuring out where I was supposed to be from the start and then what my job was going to be.
A lot of this is being able to anticipate what the route schemes are going to be, right? Once you sort of have a feel for that, this is what the offense is trying to do to me.
Absolutely.
This is how they're trying to move me, make me move to achieve something. Once you develop a feel for that, the game's really different, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And it kind of helped to be on offense to start, being over on as a wide receiver and understanding the run game and also some of the pass game. It definitely helps being on the other side of it, knowing which way a receiver's trying to move you or what their run scheme is going to be.
I was
going
to say, the offense is going to say, well, it kind of helps to know the offensive signals, James. When you're looking at the sideline, you're like,
No, I don't have time to look at I don't have time to look at the sidelines. I'm worrying about my own calls. But some of the checks, I may remember from way back in the day.
No. I mean, all jokes aside, I've seen you kind of, translate. You know, you mentioned the start at wide receiver, and then you know you come in as a starter at linebacker, and then you really kind of cement yourself as a playmaker last year. Talk a little bit about that transition, moving from a wide receiver who blocked and a special teams stalwart to where you are now as a leader.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. I never would imagine that I'd be in the position I am now. I had fun blocking. I just have always loved being physical, so that was my number one attribute and got me on the field freshman year, just playing special teams and wide receiver, blocking some guys. So I feel lucky to have had the opportunity to switch over and learn under Coach Van Gorder with that whole transition as well. So, I mean, it's been fun. I feel comfortable where I'm at now, and still a lot of the things that I can learn in my game, but it's been a great transition.
I know it's very early in the spring practice period, but who are some of the younger people, either folks who were here last year who didn't get to play, or even some of the mid-years, who are catching your eye, who you think are going to be contributors on the defensive side of the ball this year?
Defensively, my position has to do a lot with the safeties behind me. So playing with Devin Studstill this year, this spring, I should say, has been fun. A young guy coming in like that early, like I did, I totally understand how crazy a spring practice can be and how much faster it can really be. So I think he's really handled himself very well. On the offensive side, I think Chris Fink has done a great job. He's an unreal athlete, and I have some trouble with him in the slot. So I'm excited to see what he does this year.
I've got to ask a question that's on everyone's mind. How has the quarterback position been doing this spring? What's been going on? What can you say about it? Maybe what can't you say about
it? Hey, get the guy in trouble? What
I know,
doing?
Right? Hey, I'm out right now. I get to say whatever I want.
Is Birch around? Like,
yeah, right. But I think we kicked Birch out, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, they're both great quarterbacks. I came in early with Malik. He's always working his game. But, you know, the competition between the two is great. You love competition, and you love to see both of those guys working their game to be the best quarterback they can be. From the defensive side, all we try to do is pick them off. So that's really what I've been focused on.
You know, we were chatting before we came on the air, you know, looking at the growth of your tackle totals over the years, but speculating as to how many more you'd have if Joe hadn't paid the
exactly.
The game statistician to misrecord tackles.
Oh, I know. They take half my tackles and put them on.
Yeah, that
on
was.
Joe's,
hey, if you're not, you know, you got to figure out creative ways, really, when you're as bad as I was.
I'm gonna look into strategies like that this year. Let's see what I can do.
Just some accounting techniques there on this side.
Exactly.
You know, it's our schedule's always a challenge, but you know, this year we start with, you know, one of the biggest challenges you can give yourself. You're going to go down to Austin and open the season against Texas. That must place a special premium on getting ready for the season, that you don't get to roll into it. You got to start at full speed.
Absolutely. I mean, our schedule is one of the best in the country. And to play away first game in a team like that, it's different than any game. Even this spring, I try to say it a lot, that every practice counts. These practices count throughout the spring, just becoming more comfortable. And you see so much progress in athletes in the spring, I feel like. So I just feel like we got to keep on pushing that. And once we get to the fall, it'll be fun.
You know, I think I've always said this, at least for the last 2 years when I've really gotten to know you well. If I could invest in one person in their future, I would invest in yours. And
yeah.
And I think maybe talk a little bit about what you do off the field and maybe your aspirations in the business world and just things away from football. I think people might be interested in hearing.
Yeah, I'm a finance major, so, you know, working in that world has interested me. So my brother's a trader on Wall Street, does the whole thing. So I've always been interested in his daily job and kind of followed after him a little bit this summer, worked out there, got a little experience with some time off. So I'm not exactly sure what I want to do, but just exploring different areas of finance has interested me. So
I was going to say, I have to shout them out. They let me stay on their couch this week, so I have to thank the guys at on Franklin Street for that kindness.
Yeah, it's I did a heck the same thing this summer. So the blow up mattress is comfortable. Out there,
very, place. Very comfortable.
I guess it's the reverse of an improper benefit, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of the athletes providing something to you as opposed to the other way around.
Exactly. I got lucky. Some Penn football players took care of me, and I feel very fortunate.
Oh yeah, great guys out there.
Talk a little bit about your high school though. I feel like Creighton Durham Hall and Notre Dame really have gotten a kind of a connection kind of over the years. Talk a little bit about that, and maybe your first interest in Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think it's similar schools and similar culture. Creighton Durham Hall is a great school. Taught me a lot of great things and has a lot of great coaches, teachers, just great community, which I think can really compare to here. So that pipeline, I think, I mean, it's been around for so long. There's so many people still in the program, even going back to, you know, talk to the kids, be around the building, and so many fans there that support our program. I don't want to come here because I was a wide receiver and I was following Mike Floyd, who just broke every record. So I'm like, okay, so big guy like me probably might have a couple catches. I don't know. So, yeah, but, I mean, once I got here and got the opportunity, I couldn't turn it down. So continued the pipeline.
Well, one of the maybe the single greatest imponderable from year to year with all our teams is leadership. You know, that you know, and we're most at risk in the years you have really great leadership. So I just want to thank you for the role I know you're going to play in providing that leadership this year, because we're coming off a team that had really great leadership.
Absolutely.
And so the challenge is to match that leadership again this year. And, I appreciate all you're doing to help make that happen. What approach do you take to having that responsibility?
You know, I've been lucky to have leaders like JoJo and, you know, like I've said, Jarrett, and a lot of great leaders in front of me. So learning from them and seeing how they've done it has really helped me. It's a little bit different being the guy now that's, you know, trying to be a little bit more vocal and run the defense and make sure everybody's in the position they're in. But I've embraced it. It's been fun to help some of these younger guys out in their process throughout this spring. And I'm excited to lead this team to, a great season.
Well, we're excited to have you do it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank
joining
you
us today. It was thrilled to have you on, and we'll be watching with interest. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
We'll be back in a minute.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS. AM 890.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Our next guest is just finishing up his freshman year at Notre Dame, but on Sunday he became a part of Fighting Irish athletic lore when he tipped in a shot with 1.5 seconds left to give the Irish a heart-stopping one-point victory over Stephen F. Austin and a second straight trip to the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16. But Rex Pfluger has hit big shots before and made big plays before this season. Most Irish fans will remember his first headline-making game when he hit a shot clock-beating three-pointer in Notre Dame's first-ever win over Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium in January. Since that time, he has continued to make big shots and grab big rebounds, but more importantly, he has become Notre Dame's stopper on defense. Off the court, he and fellow freshman Matt Ryan made the school proud when both earned their way onto the All-ACC academic team with outstanding performances in the classroom during their freshman years. We are delighted Rex has been able to find some time to visit with us today before jetting off with his teammates to the Sweet 16 in Philadelphia to take on Wisconsin on Friday night.
Rex, thanks for being here. Man, I am so afraid this is going to turn into some sort of SoCal love fest between you two guys. When did you first meet?
I was going to say, I think we first met, I think your junior year. Cause mm-hmm. you transferred after your freshman year, right?
I originally was at J. Sarah Catholic High School, which is a school part of the Trinity League, which Modern Day is in. And he came back for one of the football games, and he led – the roller coaster wave for the crowd, and I was front and center.
I was gonna say that was our first time meeting.
Definitely,
yeah. I was gonna say, so the roller coaster, for those that aren't aware, it was something that I think a bunch of high schools do, but mm-hmm. Our high school puts a unique flair to it, and we would do it at all the basketball games. So mm-hmm. he was sitting with a bunch of the basketball guys, and they pestered me at halftime until I relented mm-hmm. and did it for him. So that was our first experience. And actually, the first thing you sent me when you texted me when you got on campus here. But it's good to have you on campus, man.
I know, it's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's you may have other than Matt Farrell's leering post game, you probably have the most watched video of the entire weekend with the tip in, of course. Just a remarkable play. But I loved when you talked in the post-game press conference about how that was sort of a second chance for you. And I wonder if you'd just revisit that story with us.
I just remember it was a senior year semifinals in CIF against Etowanda. It was like the last minute. And I think we were up by one or tied or something. And the clock was running down. And there was a missed shot, and I went for it. And it was kind of like a similar tip play. And I thought, like, oh, if I tip this in, I think we're going to have like a cushion to win this game. And I missed it, and they came down and hit a big three against us. And I think that's, like, the kind of feeling I had after when I made the shot. I was like, this seems familiar, but with a different outcome.
Yeah, I love that you got a chance to revisit that moment, right? We all, in our careers, whatever we do, we hope that happens, right? You know, you get to play that play over again, and in a sense, you got to. I love studying the tape of it because of all the dynamics that are going on there, mm-hmm. right? You know, first you got Zach getting the ball and keeping it alive, and you and I both thought that was going in when mm-hmm. you put it back up. But then there's VJ clearing the place out. He just because that's what happens in a play with 2 seconds left, right? Mm-hmm. You do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, you really do, because I remember I was like, I was wondering why I was so like open, kind of like why no one else was around. And then, like you said, I too, like, going back and looking at the play. And VJ did clear some space for us. But then also ZA, I thought, got kind of mugged on that last shot, so it kind of made up for it.
Oh, yeah. No, believe me, I'm not complaining. I think that's right. And it just goes to the same dynamic, and everybody on the floor recognizes that. And, in fact, we practice it in game situations. There's not going to be a call in that situation, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Just do what you have to do and try and get the ball back in the basket.
Exactly. In most end-of-the-game situations, they're just going to let you play. They're not trying to control the game with a foul call, so you knew you just had to put the ball in the bucket.
I was going to say, so I know you have a little bit of a volleyball mm-hmm. background. Did that kind of play into that last, like, almost a set, a little bump set right there to get it into the basket at the end?
I feel so, but, like, it's funny because I played primarily sand volleyball. Okay. And what we would call that in, like, volleyball in general is an open hand tip, and those are illegal in sand volleyball. So, like, that's kind of like an indoor thing.
So a little bit illegal there.
A little bit illegal, but thank God it was basketball.
When did you – so what was the story with sand volleyball? Was that, like, your first love? How did you get into that? What was that?
My dad, actually, when he moved out to California after college, that's one of the sports he picked up just to stay in shape. And he loves it, and he brought me and my brother into it. And we play, like, all the time. Like, we'll play over Christmas. We'll play whenever we have a chance with him and his friends. And so that kind of became, like, a family bonding thing.
Jack alluded to it in the introduction. You contribute in a host of ways to this team, but your defense is a way in which you bring really special value on a game-by-game basis and causes you to be on the floor a lot against the other team's best player. Sometimes it's a two, sometimes it's a three. How do you prepare for that?
I've always prided myself on my defense. If I'm not going off on the offensive side, I've always wanted to make sure that the player that I'm guarding is not doing the same or getting offensively aggressive on the other end. And when I'm just like, when I'm playing, I just try to read the other person's tendencies, especially when you play against different great players, such as like in the ACC, Grayson Allen, or you play against a Cat Barber. Those are two different players, but two great offensive players. And you just got to kind of mentally prepare and just read what their tendencies are.
How much of that is film study and how much of that is a feel during the game?
It's a little bit of both. Film study, you can definitely pick out their main tendencies, like if they want to drive hard right or they want to cross over to the left, or what's their favorite pull-up shot on the spot of the floor. But in the game, you got to kind of feel what they're – like, you got to kind of get in their minds and think what they're thinking and say, oh, he just missed a shot from right here. Maybe he's not going to shoot that shot. And that – it kind of just builds up over the game.
So, obviously, you're not only you're playing amazing defense against the best player on the court, but you still have to be involved offensively. You've hit game winners multiple times. How do you balance that? How do you exert so much energy on the defensive side of the ball against the best players in the nation and then still contribute on the offensive side?
I think right now my role as a freshman is to come in and provide that defensive energy all the time. You know, take the pressure off Demetrius or Steve when they need a break. And then I'm just, you know, offensively, I just look for my spots to be aggressive. And just a couple times at the end of the game, the ball's been in my hand and something good's happened. A
couple times at the end of the game, I decide maybe I should get involved, maybe win the game. Has there been anything funny that's happened since that day? Has anybody, you know, maybe from back home sent you a text or something weird? What's been the weirdest thing that's kind of happened since that game winner?
There's just been so many things that's happened. I've gotten more text messages than I've ever gotten in my life. But probably the cool thing, like this popular show, One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
Like, one of their main actors posted a photo of me when I was reacting on the bench. So it sounds weird, but I slid into the DM and I said, thanks for the shout out. And he responded and he was saying good luck in the rest of the game. So I talked to him a little bit.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
with each round, you get a little bit more of that. So let's keep going.
Yeah. Yes, please.
You know, I of course look at this game in a completely biased way. So my assessments of officiating are never to be trusted because I'm rooting too hard. But I thought you were on the wrong end of two block charge calls during this game. And I'm not asking you to comment on the officiating, but talk to me about the dynamic of how you try and manage those situations to get the right call, right?
It's tough, definitely, but like Coach says, move on to the next play. If something bad happens or a bad call goes the next way, just don't think about it. You just got to brush it off and move on to the next play and just try to adjust to it for the next time.
You know, looking forward now, we're playing a great Wisconsin team that had their own buzzer beater. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been all over SportsCenter. Looking at that team, obviously, I'm sure you've already done the scouting. What are you looking at about them, and how do you feel about this matchup moving into the weekend?
I think we have a good matchup with them. Obviously, they're a hot team right now, kind of like how we are. You have to be in March, and they got great players, you know, all around. But I think we can match up well with them with our guard play and our speed. Hopefully, we can push the tempo on them and then just make shots.
Is there somebody in particular that you've been looking at, or a few guys, maybe their guards that you've been watching a lot of?
Well, Bronson, the one that hit that shot, you know, obviously, like that's the guy I want to guard. And going into this game, you know, whenever I get my opportunity, I'm just going to be prepared.
Not to give too much credit to that shot, what did you think about that, by the way? I'm just curious. I, for a guy that doesn't know much about basketball, mm-hmm. that shot looked to be a little difficult.
It was a very impressive shot. You know, he took one dribble, step back to the right, fade away in the corner with a hand in his face. Like, you got to give the guy props.
Right.
He makes tough shots, but that was good defense by the Xavier defender, and he just made the shot.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear him postgame say he works on that shot all the time.
Yeah.
And he knew the moment he released it was good because he shoots it so often, which
worth
which,
noting, works on it all the time.
I know.
You know, this has been you join a program that's coming off a great year, and has another great year. You're in the toughest conference in the league. Mm-hmm. What surprised you about first year? The entire experience.
I got to say the ups and downs, you know, throughout the whole season. I've had some low lows this season, but I've also had some of the highest highs. So it's like it's crazy how like your emotions be changing throughout the whole season. And also just the level of competition in ACC. Like if you don't bring your A game every single game, you're just going to get smacked. Like it was an example for us against Florida State.
Right.
Lost by 20 at their place because we weren't like focused on what we were doing. But then we go in, and, like before that, we beat Louisville and North Carolina. So it shows how good this league really is.
you know, I think that kind of plays into the mindset. And you know, we Jack and I talked before the show a little bit about mindset on Friday night in your game, and really the difference in the first half to the second half.
Mm-hmm.
How was the team able to just kind of just flip the switch and really turn it on that second half, and I mean, really take over and win the game?
I believe Coach did a great job at halftime. He said, "Stop messing around. This is our time. This is win or go home. You got to get serious now." And I remember I had a conversation with Demetrius. I'm like, "This is your team, man. You just gotta take over right now. You and ZA just need to talk to us. Be serious. Don't give us any crap. Just tell us how it is and just let's play. Let's win."
It helped a lot the way Steve came out to start that second half and really sort of lit a fire with that first drive and that shot. It's reflective of the leadership on this team, right? You mentioned Demetrius, Zach, Steve, Austin. Coming off a year where the leadership was pretty spectacular, we've really had effective leadership this year, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, top to bottom. You know, people don't see it as much, but AJ or Austin Burgett, he's probably one of the best leaders just because of the way he leads by example all the time. He doesn't pout. He just plays the game. He's ready whenever he's right or called upon. And even off the court, he's just a great role model.
You know, leadership obviously starts at the top, too, with Coach Bray. And I think it's been well documented just how great of a coach he is. What's it like playing for Coach Bray? And obviously, you played for Coach McKnight back in modern day. So you've had two great head coaches. Talk a little bit about those two guys and what it's like playing for Coach Bray.
There's definitely similarities between great coaches. They know when to step away and let the team lead. I think that's a great quality in all coaches. Like Coach Bray even said during like our timeouts, he's like, he realized that our team was taking over, talking to each other well, so he just kind of leaned back and let us talk. He's like, "Okay, you guys are saying great stuff. I don't really need to contribute. Just take over the ship right now." And I think that's one thing that I realized between both coaches. Like Coach McKnight would let me take over in my senior year, and Stanley Johnson, obviously, and just let us kind of run the team.
One of my favorite questions to ask our student guest is, why Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah, the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
People always ask me, why did you go away from the sunny California weather? I'm just like, I don't know. I think I was kind of drawn to it, you know, seeing, like, modern-day guys and, like, Joe Schmidt here and then also another California guy like Max Redfield on the football team. Like, I talked to them, and they said it was a great place. You know, they loved it. And that everyone from California that goes there ends up staying all 4 years. So, obviously, it's a great place. And then you can't get a better education along with a better athletic side to it.
Well, we're sure glad you made that choice. I'll be excited to be in Philly with you and looking forward to taking on the Badgers. Thanks for all you're contributing to our success, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
AM 890.
We have come to the end of a transformational season of the Jack Swarbrick Show, a season in which we added a student-athlete co-host, featured at least one student-athlete in every show, and posted videos of all the interviews on WatchND each week, moves which received tremendously positive responses from both listeners and viewers. So I guess the question as we wrap up this season is, Jack, how are you going to top this next year?
It'll be hard to top, I'll tell you. You know, and one of the reasons it'll be hard to top is that our subject matter is based ultimately on the stories of our student-athletes and their performance, and this has been one heck of a year, and we're only about three-quarters of the way through it. I want to note, because we've devoted appropriately so much of this show to both basketball teams and the hockey program, that the number one-ranked women and number three-ranked men
fencing teams compete this weekend in the NCAA championships in Massachusetts. We've qualified the maximum number of 12 fencers and have a real shot at a national championship there. One of the great programs at Notre Dame, consistently great. And then finally, Joe, I want to thank you. This thing that is Notre Dame athletics is fundamentally about the remarkable students that choose to come here and participate. And the opportunity you've given us to highlight one of the most impressive student athletes Notre Dame has ever had on a week-by-week basis by participating in this show has been a real pleasure for me, has made the show infinitely better. So I want to thank you for dedicating all this time to doing it.
No, I mean, I appreciate everything you said, but, you know, the honor has been mine and the pleasure has been mine. It's amazing to get to know you even better and to be a part of such a great show with obviously great people helping all around. It's been humbling honor, you know, an honor to be here, and I couldn't have been happier that you would let me do this with you. So thank you.
We'll probably in the off season have some form of American Idol or voice contest for your replacement, but we'll figure out how to do that. But you've set a tough standard for them to meet. Thanks again, and go Irish.
Go Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics, the Jack Swarbrick Show, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.